thanks for introduction and thanks for inviting me to speak here. There are several critical steps in Leishmania development in Sandfly, as you have heard from Paolo already. I'm going to speak about two of them, midgut attachment and then about the transmission to the vertebrate host and about Sandfly saliva. And by the way, this is EM picture of Leishmania infantum chagasi attaching to Lutzomyelon gepalpis midgut. This is the head of Lutzomyelon gepalpis with salivary glands. Some sandfly species, namely Phlebotomus papatazi and Phlebotomus sergenti, are very specific for Leishmania they transmit. In the nature, they transmit only Leishmania major or Leishmania tropica, and in laboratory conditions, they are refractory to any other Leishmania we tested. In these so-called specific vectors, group from NIH, David Sachs lab, Paolo Pimenta, Shadin Kamhavi, and others show that parasite lipophosphoglycan, the main surface molecule of the promastigots, is essential for the midgut attachment. And in papatazi, this LPG of Leishmania major attaches to a receptor on midgut surface, which is papatazi galactin. However, parasites are attaching also in other vectors and even in sandflies, which are susceptible for a broad range of Leishmania. And most of sandflies we tested belong to so-called permissive vectors. In laboratory conditions, they are susceptible for any Leishmania we tested. And the question was, what's the mechanism of attachment in these permissive vectors? So from these experiments with LPG mutants deficient in LPG, it's clear that LPG is not required for attachment in permissive vectors. LPG mutants develop very poorly in Phlebotomus papatazi, which is the specific vector, but grow very vigorously in Lutzomyelon gepalpis and Phlebotomus arabicus, two permissive species. And recently we have the same data from Phlebotomus arabicus and Phlebotomus perniciosus and other permissive vectors. So what's the mechanism of attachment? We found a very interesting correlation between permissivity of the sandfly species and presence of O-glycosylated epitopes on midgut epithelium. All sandfly species have N-glycosylated proteins on the midgut surface, luminal surface, but only those which are permissive vectors like Lutzomyelon gepalpis, Phlebotomus halepensis, Phlebotomus perniciosus, argentipes, and arabicus, they have these O-glycosylated epitopes. Those which are specific vectors like Phlebotomus papatazi or these two colonies of Phlebotomus sergenti have no O-glycosylation. Moreover, these O-glycosylated epitopes in permissive vectors like Lutzomyelon gepalpis, they are present on the luminous surface of the gut, which is the right place for parasite attachment. And also they are binding to Leishmania surface in vitro. These promastigots were incubated first with midgut lysate, and then the bound material was visualized using fluorescent microscope. There are important consequences of this concept of specific versus permissive vectors, and Alan Warburg gave you already example from the field from North Israel, where there are very interesting foci of zoonotic Leishmania tropica transmitted by different sand flies, and in the northern focus Phlebotomus arabicus is the vector, despite Phlebotomus sergenti is present there. So this focus is very special. This one around Tiberias is classical focus where or focus with the classical vector Phlebotomus sergenti. So question was, why Tropicas from this northern focus are not able to survive or to be transmitted by sergenti? And so we took flies to lab and make colonies and make experimental infections, and found that these isolates from the north are not able to survive in Phlebotomus sergenti, but they grow vigorously in Phlebotomus arabicus. Arabicus is a permissive vector with highly glycosylated midgut epitopes, while sergenti is specific vector without O-glycosylation. And people from CemTurco lab show that these northern isolates have very specific LPG. So this means that modification of LPG has a negative impact on the survival of these strains in the specific vector, but no effect in the permissive vector. Another example came from studies on natural hybrids of Leishmania major and Leishmania infantum. These natural hybrids were isolated repeatedly in Portugal from HIV positive community of drug users, and so there are several isolates from different people, and we tested them in one permissive vector Lutzomyia longipalpis and one specific vector Papatasi. So Leishmania major and infantum were used as the controls, and in permissive vector all strains develop very well, while in Papatasi infantum died after or they are defecated during blood meal defecation, so you cannot find any infantum after blood meal defecation in Phlebotomus papatasi, while the hybrids survived. And studies with antibodies specific for Leishmania major LPG show that these hybrids possess a certain amount of Leishmania major LPG, which allowed them to survive in the specific vector Phlebotomus papatasi. So this is the scheme what happens. So in Lutzomyia longipalpis with all glycosylated epitopes, all Leishmania attach and survive nicely, while in Papatasi without O-glycosylation infantum cannot attach, and hybrids are attaching by unique highly substituted LPG of Leishmania major type and survive. And I gave you two examples already, but this third one is, in my opinion, even more important. There are the third example which I like to show you is the establishment of Leishmania infantum chagasi in Latin America. This parasite is transmitted in Mediterranean by various species of subgenus Larusius, which belong to permissive species like Phlebotomus perniciosus. But when taken by conquistadors and their dogs to Latin America, this parasite was able to establish in new conditions, find the new permissive vector Lutzomyia longipalpis. So this is photo taken in Recife in museum, showing dog in a full armature. So dog from conquistadors' times, when conquistadors landed with these dogs in Latin America. Two important messages from this first part. We can predict the permissivity of the sandfly according to glycosylation of midgut epithelium, and the presence of permissive species has important consequences for epidemiology of Leishmaniasis. So now a little bit about sandfly saliva. I think some other people, like Greg, will be talking about saliva more after me. So very briefly, saliva contains a mixture of molecules which are necessary for blood feeding, but they also immunomodulate the host. And Titus and Ribeiro were the first showing that saliva of sandfly enhance Leishmania infections, enabling Leishmania establishment. And on the other, so this is true. This situation is true for naive hosts, naive mice. On the other hand, if mice are preimmunized with salivary gland extract or recombinant proteins or pre-exposed to sandfly bites, they are protected against Leishmania transmission. And that's why sandfly salivary proteins and are vaccine targets against Leishmaniasis. But it's important to know that the protein composition of saliva differs very much between sandfly species. And that's why, for example, the protective effect also differs. So in this experiment, we pre-immunized mice with Lutzomyl and Gepalpi saliva, and then co-injected parasites with saliva of different sandfly species, not only Lutzomyl and Gepalpi, but also Phlebotomus papatasi or Phlebotomus sergenti. And pre-immunization was effective only if homologous saliva was used. So in only in this case, when we co-injected saliva of Longipalpis, if we co-injected saliva of papatasi or sergenti, infection was the same as in non-immunized controls. And specific is also the antibody response. For example, antibodies against sandfly saliva do not cross-react with mosquito salivary gland peptides. This is this case. Yeah? So Anopheles stephensi salivary gland extract, no reaction with sera of animals bitten by Phlebotomus sergenti and Phlebotomus papatasi, and vice versa. When Phlebotomus sergenti or Phlebotomus papatasi was taken as the antigen, only the sera from mice bitten by Anopheles stephensi did not recognize any specific band. And antibodies recognize even between different sandfly species. For example, here, this is the antigen of Lutzomyl and Gepalpis, and no reaction with sera of mice bitten by Phlebotomus papatasi and Phlebotomus sergenti. So there is some weak cross-reactions between Phlebotomus species, but no cross-reactions between Phlebotomus and Lutzomyia in genera. So antibodies could be used as the marker of individual exposure, and we were thinking about the possibility to use them about for measuring the effectiveness of vector control programs. But for these studies, you need to know more about antibodies, especially more about dynamics of these antibodies in hosts. So we exposed 12 dog beagles to Lutzomyl and Gepalpis in 5 times in 1 week intervals, and found that and measured using ELISA with salivary gland extract, flutamal and gepalpis. We measured specific antibodies, IgG and IgE antibodies in sera of these dogs. And we found that IgG are good markers of exposure, but not IgE. IgE were developed in only few, in some dogs only, while IgG levels were increased even after several months after the last exposure. So antibodies, IgG antibodies correlate with the intensity of exposure, with the number of bites received from the sandfly. So the group with highly exposed to Lutzomal and Gepalpis females develop higher antibody levels than the second group. And IgG1 subclass is not very good for the as a marker of exposure. IgG2 subclass is better because the antibodies of this subclass go up very quickly and then drop down relatively quickly after the last exposure. So either IgG or IgG2 are good markers of exposure, at least in dogs. In humans, there are not such studies published yet about dynamics of antibodies, but we have possibility to work in the field in southeast Turkey in Şanlıurfa, focus of Tropica, typical urban focus of anthropognathic Leishmania tropica. And it's a place where most of the sandfly fauna is composed only of two species, Phlebotomus argenti and Phlebotomus papatasi. So we took these two species into lab, established colonies, and did ELISAs with sera of humans from this endemic region. And almost 50% of inhabitants of Şanlıurfa have increased antibody levels against papatasi or against Sargenti. These are just negative controls from our country where sandflies are existing only in our colonies. And so the Western blots confirmed that even in humans, antibody response is pretty specific. So sera from people bitten by papatasi and Sargenti recognize papatasi and Sargenti antigens, but not salivary gland antigens of Lutzomyl and Gepalpis. So again, no cross reaction between Phlebotomus and Lutzomyl. And we think that specificity of the antibody response enables monitoring the exposure of even humans to sandflies. And more detailed analysis of data we got from ELISA show that IgG levels against Phlebotomus argenti saliva positively correlates with tropical lesions. So these people with active tropical lesions have higher antibody levels than those their neighbors or family relatives living in same houses and which were healthy without apparent tropical lesions. There was no such a correlation with papatasi because papatasi is not a vector of Leishmania tropica. So it's a very interesting finding because it means that antibodies against sandfly saliva have no protective effect. And antibodies reflect the risk of leishmaniasis. So they reflect the intensity of exposure and chance that you can get leishmaniasis. They have no protective effect. And this is just a summary that the most important message is that antibodies like IgG or the subclass IgG2 is useful for monitoring the exposure to sand flies and probably could be used for monitoring the effectiveness of vector control programs, how much sand flies are biting humans after the program. And in endemic regions, it's also a risk marker for at least for cutaneous leishmaniasis. It's so I like to acknowledge our collaborators Paul Bates, Ketis Soteriadu, and Alon Warburg, and some people who gave us leishmania strains. And thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf. We have time for several questions. Peter, forgot your name.
Sorry?
I forgot your name, but go ahead.
Roy. Anyway, Peter, did you by any chance test whether Phoboros profilowi is permissive for Leishmania major?
Perfilievi?
Yeah.
We didn't test Perfilievi because Perfilievi is diapausing during winter. It's very difficult to test them, to have them in laboratory conditions. But of course, Perniciosus, which is very close to Perfilievi, is nicely permissive for Leishmania major.
Other questions?
Yes, Paul.
You showed a nice label of the lectin, HBA, showed the overpolarization in your data. And,
yeah?
Is lectin binding to the, to all of the dope that is overpolarized? Did you use this lectin to inhibit the binding? Because you say that the bind depends on those proteins, but if you have some tools to use as a control.
Yeah, the question was if there is a possibility to inhibit leishmania binding to midgut using this HPA lectin, which binds nicely to midgut epithelium. Lectin is digested if you put it within the blood meal, and it's very
By in vitro, actually.
Yeah, in vitro it works. It works. We are not 100%, but we have some preliminary data from in vitro studies. So we are working on it together with Paul Bates. Yeah, I believe that LPG, the question was if LPG has anything, any role in permissive vectors. Yeah, I believe that LPG can serve as the protection against maybe antimicrobial peptides, maybe protein, some proteinases or some other potentially harmful molecules, but surely it is not involved in binding.
For those impressed by the lack of the very clean slides on the serum from the sandfly bites, and for instance, especially because you showed that there's no cross hybridization with an Octus finesse, I think that's the mosquito that you used. And what we have seen is that even using individuals that, I'm going to hopefully show some of that data, but some of the blood that we obtained from the military personnel that were actually stationed in the U.S., there's a lot of cross-hybridization from their sera with salivary proteins. And they could be people potentially even exposed to sample bites, but in some cases, they came from, we actually don't know where they came from. So they could be from areas where there are no sand flies, and there is some cross-hybridization with mosquitoes present in the United States. So I wonder if that lack of cross-hybridization is only associated perhaps with anophelines or only species specific to anophelines that you use, and perhaps you can see that with some other
stuff. We were so doing...
Like, sorry.
Yeah, the question was if pictures I showed from other laboratory model on in mice could be repeated in humans, that in humans there are more cross reactivities, and nobody knows if it's because of some pre-exposure or of course the laboratory system using BALB/c mice is more easy to interpret. I think we tested Anopheles stephens eye, and the same we did with Culex quinque fasciatus. But I agree that sometimes, especially in humans, you have some cross reactions which are very difficult to explain.
That's all the time we have.